Our scripture reading this afternoon is found in the book of James, general epistle of James, chapter 1. We will read that whole chapter. Our text is found in verses 21 through 25. I'm not going to reread that, so when we get to that portion, I ask that you pay special attention, 21 through 25. Let's begin reading James chapter 1 at verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And now begins our text. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And there ends our text. And then we finish with the last two verses. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. Beloved congregation, in our Lord Jesus Christ, there are two kinds of people in the Church Institute. There are some who are merely hearers of the word, and there are others who are hearers and doers of the word. And every child of God, everyone who is truly a child of God, will be both a hearer and a doer of the word. The question that each of us ought to face this afternoon is this: are we doers of the word? Are we doers of the word and not hearers only? Because those who merely hear the word deceive themselves. They might think that they have a true religion, but they deceive themselves. James makes a distinction between the mere hearers and those who are hearers and doers of the word. And James spends a lot of time on that distinction throughout the epistle, because that's a very important distinction. It's the distinction between true and false religion. Look at the last verses in that section we read, James 1, verse 26 and following, 26 and 27. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. There's a vain religion. On the other hand, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That distinction is borne out as well in the second chapter of James. The difference between being a hearer versus being a hearer and a doer is the difference between a dead faith and a living faith. Chapter 2, verse 14, James 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? That is to say, can that faith save him? And verse 17 as well. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. There's the distinction. Hearers of the word or hearers and doers of the word. Let's consider our text under the theme, doers of the word. In the first place, let's note the hearing of the word. What is the word which we hear, and what is the hearing of it? Secondly, the doing of the word. And lastly, the blessedness in being doers of the word. Doers of the word, the hearing, the doing, and the blessedness. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. What word is James talking about when he says, be doers of the word? That very same word to which James refers he speaks of it also in verse 18 of our chapter, James 1, verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That word is called a word of truth because this word is the truth. Not just that the word contains the truth in some parts, but the word is the truth. That's just another name for the gospel. the truth of the gospel. When the gospel is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit applies that truth to our hearts. And so we are begotten again as new creatures. With His own will begat He us with the word of truth. James stresses the fact that we are creatures, we are new creatures, not because we made ourselves new creatures, but because God, according to His own will, begat us. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. Later, the Holy Spirit speaks of the very same word in verse 21. James 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The ingrafted word is the word which God plants in the hearts of His children. Not that the word in and of itself, the bare word, not that that is able to save us, but that is the means that God uses. We talked about that this morning, the means that the Spirit uses. The word is the means that God uses powerfully to effect our salvation. That is some word. The word that God uses as a means is a powerful word because God makes it a powerful word. That's some word. A word that we must not ignore. You understand, James is not talking about the bare message of the gospel, but he's talking about the whole of God's word. If we began Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and we read all the way to the end, Revelation 22. All of that word is the word which we ought to hear. All of that word, of course, is centered on the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every page in some way is connected with the message of Jesus Christ. From the beginning to the end, that word contains everything we need to know in order that we may glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Think of all that's connected with the message of the gospel. We have at the beginning of Scripture the account of Adam and Eve's fall into sin and how through that, the entire human race fell in Adam. We need to know that. We need to know where mankind obtained his total depravity. Why is it that we are miserable creatures by ourselves? We need to know that. The Word tells us about our misery. So too, already in Genesis 3, we find the proclamation, the mother promise, proclamation of the gospel in Genesis 3:15. The word tells us of the remedy of our great misery. And the same word tells us of the way of thankfulness. Really, the word includes all of God's speech to us. And if God took the time to have these words recorded to us, this word is significant. We ought not to despise this word. The word not only reveals the promises, but it admonishes us to believe those promises. The word not only tells us about our sins, but calls us to repent of our sins. The word not only speaks the truth concerning Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, but it also commands us to believe on Jesus Christ as our righteousness. To look to Him alone as our Savior. That's the word The word of the gospel from beginning to end, the whole of the scriptures. That's the word we must hear and also do. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Evidently, if we are going to be doers, we have to also first hear the word. That truth James expresses in the first verse of our text, verse 21, James 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Receive it. Hear it. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But here's where the battle is. To be proper hearers of the word, the Holy Spirit tells us to lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That is, lay aside the filthiness of sin. Lay aside pride. Lay aside the pride that says, I just can't believe that. Lay aside the filth of pride. Lay aside the filth of slander. Lay aside the filth of malice. Lay aside all that filthiness. And we could go on with all kinds of filthiness. Lay that aside and also set aside that superfluity of naughtiness. That is, lay aside that overflowing of evil. Our natures, our old natures, overflow with evil. Naturally. Our natures, our old natures, overflow with evil. The apostle says, lay that aside. Lay that aside. It's striking. The inspired James is writing to people who professed to be believers. He's writing to people who professed to be Christians. But notice how strongly he speaks to them. James chapter 4, verse 4. James 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That summarizes what these people were like. They were friends of the world in a spiritual way. And he describes them throughout the epistle. I point out a number of those descriptions, though my selection of verses is by no means exhaustive. These people were those who thought too highly of the rich, and they thought too little of the poor. James chapter 2. James 2 verse 2. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, the nice clothing, and say to him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. They thought too highly of the rich and too little of the poor. They were also guilty of causing all kinds of division in the church. Causing division in the church. Imagine that. James 4, verse 1. James 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? They cause contention. They had all kinds of plans, these people did as well. They had all kinds of plans to make money for themselves. Not that it's wrong to plan ahead. These people had all kinds of plans apart from God. James 4, verse 13. James 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. They had all kinds of plans. And these people hoarded their riches. They hoarded their riches and withheld pay from their workers. James 5, verses 3 and 4. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. That hire crieth, the apostle says. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Now it's true, some manifest these sins more than others, especially, and that's the idea that James brings out, those with a dead faith. They profess to be believers, and yet they manifested all this wickedness. But isn't that wickedness found in all of us? To some degree or other, is not that wickedness found in all of us? Are we not more friendly with the world than we ought to be? Do we not cause more contention than we ought to cause? Are we not covetous to one degree or another and presumptuous, thinking that we will do this or that, and we forget to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that? The fact of the matter is, we are all still sinners. So when James speaks to those who have a dead faith, he is also speaking to all of God's people who still have the old man of sin clinging to us. James says, lay that aside. Lay that evil aside. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls. Put it away. Why put it away? Because it hinders our reception of the Word. As long as we hold on to the world, as long as we want to be friends of the world, it will be difficult, if not impossible, to receive the Word. I say those things hinder the reception of the Word. Think of Jesus' parable that he tells. The sower who goes out. Remember that parable, children? The sower and the different kinds of soil. I point out just one verse from that parable. Matthew 13, verse 22. Matthew 13, verse 22. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. He hears the word. But notice what happens to him. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. be hearers of the word. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Sit under the preaching of the word. We ought to. That's a good thing. Sit under the preaching of God's word. Hear the word of truth with all readiness of mind. Don't dismiss the word because it doesn't fit with our own preconceived notions. Don't dismiss the word because, well, that's not the way I was brought up. Don't dismiss the word because it steps on your toes or my toes and points specifically to this sin or that sin that we are guilty of. Don't dismiss it because of that. Don't attack the messenger because you don't like the message. Hear the word of truth. Notice how the apostle says, receive it with meekness. That's an attitude of meekness. A gentle and humble spirit that is willing to say, this word applies to me, not just my neighbor over there, but this word applies to me as well. Receive it with meekness. Hear the word, mull it over. Listen to it and compare the word with the rest of God's word and say, and ask the question, is it true? If it's true, then I must believe it. Our denomination has doctrines. We teach some doctrines that are difficult to receive because they go against our old nature. But the question is not how hard is this doctrine, or what do other churches believe? That's not the question. The question is, what does God's Word say? What does God's Word teach? Hear the Word with meekness. But don't stop there. Don't stop there. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Literally, the original Greek says, become doers of the word. Become doers of the word. And more than that, the admonition here, the command for those who are grammarians, it's an imperative, but it comes in the present tense. There are different kinds of commands. If we say to our children, make the bed, that might mean just today. Go and make the bed right now. But there's also a kind of command that says, I want you to be making your bed every single day. Be making your bed. Not just today, tomorrow and the next day. That's the kind of command that the Holy Spirit gives us in this text. It's in the present tense. It's an ongoing, continual thing. So the idea is this. Be in the process of becoming doers of the word. That's a continual duty. Be in the process more and more of becoming doers of the word. Be doers of the word. Hear the word and then do it. Hear the words of Jesus Christ and then do them. No doubt James has reference to the words that Jesus spoke on probably more than one occasion, but it's recorded at least once here in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 and following. Jesus says, and why call ye me Lord? Why call ye me Lord, Lord? The idea behind one who is Lord is the master, one who has the right to command, one who has the right to say, I want you to do this and this. One who owns someone. Jesus Christ owns us. Jesus says, why call ye me Lord, Lord? And do not the things which I say. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. Notice the hearing and the doing. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I remember seeing a house once in Mexico built next to a stream. And after there was a huge storm during the night, the man who was living in that house noticed that something was happening to the foundation. The stream was undercutting, was going under the foundation of the house. By the end of the night, the house had fallen into the stream because he did not build that house on a rock. The stream cut under the house and washed that house away. Jesus is talking about two kinds of people, just like James. Two kinds of hearers. There are those who hear the word, and that's all they do. And there are those who hear the word and also are doers of the word. What kind of hearers are we? What kind of hearers are we? Listen to how James describes the different kinds of hearers. He uses the figure of someone who looks into a mirror. James 1, verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face in a glass. That is, beholding his face in a mirror. Verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He looks in the mirror, but he doesn't stay there. He looks in the mirror and he immediately turns away from the mirror, and he forgets what he saw. He deliberately forgets what he saw. He forgets. Notice what the text says. He forgetteth. Seeing verse 23. Beholding his natural face. He beholds his natural face. That face that he obtained by nature, that tells him about his misery. He sees that natural face, but he turns away from that. He goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He hears the word of the gospel. He hears about himself in the mirror of the gospel. He hears the truth that he is a depraved sinner. But he forgets. Straightway he forgets because he doesn't like that message. He doesn't like the message that mankind apart from Jesus Christ is totally depraved. He doesn't like that. The unbeliever wants to think that mankind, and if you talk to the unbeliever, they'll say this, that mankind is basically good. That's what the unbeliever wants to think. And when they see the natural face in the mirror, when they see what Scripture says about mankind by nature, that we are lost, miserable, totally depraved creatures, when the unbeliever sees that, he doesn't like that message. Doesn't like that. Totally depraved. He turns away and he forgets, even suppresses that message. And when he does that, of course, he proudly maintains his own self-righteousness. I'm not that bad. In fact, I'm good enough that when the judgment day comes, God will probably let me into heaven. That's what the unbeliever thinks. The mere hearer doesn't bother looking for a solid foundation upon which to build his hope of heaven. Oh, if you ask him, would you like to go to heaven? Yeah, of course I'd like to go to heaven. But he wants to build the foundation of his hope upon his own works. He wants to build the foundation of his hope for heaven upon the sand of his own works. But what's going to happen on the judgment day to that man? The children know the answer. That man who has built his house upon the sand, when the stream comes flowing by that house, it's going to wash away. That man is a proud Pharisee. Self-righteous. When he looks at others, he is always willing to point out where they go wrong. When he hears about the sins of others, he proclaims, I would never do that kind of thing. I would never do that. The believer, however, humbly knows, I could do that very thing. If not for the grace of God, I would be doing the very thing. A proud Pharisee, he would never do that, he thinks. And if he does sin, if he does sin, he thinks to himself, it's always somebody else's fault. Because of what they did, that's why I did that. He blames somebody else. The Pharisee is a mere hearer of the word. Not a willing hearer. He doesn't like the message, but he is a mere hearer of the word. James describes the other kind of hearer in verse 25. James 1, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, he looks into the mirror and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He looks into the mirror of the perfect law of liberty. He hears the word of the gospel. He hears about his own misery and depravity, but he doesn't walk away. He doesn't try to forget. Instead, he continues. Notice how the text says that. He looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. He remains near the word. He holds on to the word. He dwells upon it and rejoices in the word because it not only tells him about his misery, it tells him about salvation in Jesus Christ. And when he is willing to give himself over to God, and that is God's work in him, he holds on to the word. He refuses, therefore, to trust in the foundation of his own works. He says, my works will never do. What does he build his hope of heaven upon? Children, what does he build his hope of heaven upon? Not the sand, but the rock, which is Jesus Christ. He builds his hope of heaven on Jesus Christ, the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. He hears that Jesus kept the law perfectly. He hears the hearer and the one who does the word. He hears that Jesus Christ paid the full ransom for all of his sins. He hears that we have been redeemed from sin's guilt and power. He rejects, therefore, his own works. He does not want to build his hope of heaven upon that sandy foundation. But he doesn't stop there. He hears the word. Hearing the law of liberty, he rejoices that he is free from the guilt of sin. He is free from the bondage of despair, but that's not all. He is now free to love God and his neighbor. God has set him free. God has set us free. So this man is not only a hearer, but a doer of the word. Constantly in thankfulness, now when he considers what God has done, in thankfulness, he wants to do the word. He strives to do what God commands, not because he wants to build his house on that sandy foundation, but because he wants to show his thankfulness. He strives to do what God's word commands from beginning to end. The mere hearer, on the other hand, deceives himself. The mere hearer is not blessed in any way, shape, or form. James points to that in verse 22 of the text when he says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You see, those who only hear the word and they don't do the word, they don't want to show forth their thankfulness, they deceive themselves. This man, this one who only hears the word, convinces himself it's enough. It's enough to come to church. It's enough to give a nod of assent. Yes, I believe that. And so he is convinced that merely hearing the word is enough. That this by itself proves that his faith is a true faith. This man imagines that doing the word is not so important. Oh, this man will do the bare minimum, perhaps to keep from being bothered, because maybe the elders would visit him otherwise. He makes a show, or she makes a show of religion. They come to church, but the heart is missing. The heart is missing. The rest of the book of James reveals the bankrupt religion of the mere hearer. We read that verse 26. Or before, but verse 26 as well. "If any man among you seem to be religious," that is, he thinks to himself that he is religious, "and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." He thinks he has true religion, but his religion makes no difference in the way that he speaks. He speaks just like unbelievers. He curses just like unbelievers. There's no difference. Well, that means his religion is an empty show. He goes on slandering, backbiting, gossiping. Now, believers sin this way too, but I'm saying there's no difference between the one who professes to be a believer and the unbeliever. If there is no difference, that simply shows the one who professes is probably an unbeliever. If there is absolutely no difference, what does James say in verse 27? "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Pure religion makes a difference. True religion makes a difference in our lives. A mere hearer doesn't do that. A mere hearer doesn't visit the fatherless and widow. A mere hearer of the word doesn't bother keeping himself unspotted from the world. The man who is a mere hearer will not be blessed. He will experience on the judgment day when the storm of the judgment comes, his house will be swept away. His show of religion, in fact, will bring him a greater judgment. A greater judgment. But that's not the main point of the text. The main point of the text is the blessedness. At least the text brings out the blessedness of those who are hearers and doers. Verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." This man shall be blessed in his deed. He who diligently looks into the word of God and sees in Christ the way of freedom from sin and wrath. He who sees in Jesus Christ the only possibility of serving God in thankfulness. He who looks into the Word and studies the way of holiness. He who does what God commands in thankfulness for a gracious salvation. That man doesn't make himself blessed. But the inspired apostle says this is a description of someone who is blessed. This man proves, he gives all the evidence of being one of God's children. He is blessed. His works don't make him blessed, but they show that his faith is a living faith. The man who hears and does is like the man who builds his house upon the rock. He is blessed. He is blessed in this life. He enjoys the comfort knowing that when the judgment comes, he will not be swept away. He lives in the comfort knowing his salvation is based on the solid rock. The hearer, who is also a doer, therefore looks forward to the judgment day. He looks forward to the judgment day because that will be the day of his complete deliverance. He has been looking into the law of liberty, which promises a future deliverance as well. He has been looking forward with anticipation to the judgment day. And now finally it comes. He will rejoice on the judgment day. Because that day, remember, he looked, not only the unbeliever, but the believer looks into the mirror and sees his natural face. When the believer sees that natural face in the mirror, he hates that old man. He wants to be done with that old man. But on the judgment day, that will be achieved. God will put away completely the old man of flesh. And we will be delivered completely from all our sins, those besetting sins. What kind of hearer are you, beloved? What kind of hearer am I? Are we those who hear the word and do the word and thus give evidence that we are building on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If we are doers of the word, that gives evidence that we are God's children. Doers from the heart, you understand. Not just doers in front of others, but doers from the heart. We are not deceiving ourselves if we are doers as well as hearers of the word. May God give us the grace to be doers of the word. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy grace. We thank Thee that Thou hast saved us from sin, from the dominion of Satan, and that Thou hast given to us the new life of Jesus Christ, so that we are able to walk by Thy grace in Thy ways. Grant us that we may be not only hearers of the word, but also doers, so that we may see that we are not deceiving ourselves, but we truly have a foundation on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. May we look to Him alone for all of our salvation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.